I'd like to begin by reading the rest of the psalm that Gary read started. He read us a verse or two from Psalm 96, and I'd just like to read the rest of it. I just feel the beauty of this psalm is good for us to hear. Psalm 96, the subtitle is a call to worship the Lord, who is the righteous judge. Sing to the Lord a new song. Yes, Lord, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are but idols. But our God made the heavens. Splendor, majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe or give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, Lord, you reign. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the field, of the forest, will sing for joy. For the Lord, he is coming. He's coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. What fantastic words. What if that isn't the heartbeat of Little Church by the Sea, that we ascribe to God, we give to God the glory that's due his name, because he is great and he is greatly to be praised and highly to be honored, that he is worthy of our hearts being given to him. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I want to encourage you to give God an offering this morning, besides what already was taken. I want to encourage you to give God the offering of your heart. Give God the offering of your heart this morning. Say, Lord, take my heart afresh and anew this morning, because I want to give it to you, God, because you are so worthy. You reign and you rule in our lives. And Lord, I'll confess to you, sometimes I take parts of my heart back. But God, this morning we want to give you all of our hearts, every single molecule of our hearts, God, we want to give to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. How come? Because he is so worthy. God is so great. He is so awesome. He is so to be honored here at Little Church by the Sea. What a morning. I mean, don't you think this is a morning? I mean, did you look at the words that we sang this morning? And you see the kids up here that went on the Belize trip? And Isaac did a great job on that video. And it's like Laura said, you cannot explain in words. You cannot explain in words when you go into the nations what it feels like. And I know a lot of you here have been, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. The joy and the beauty of God in people in Belize, and people in Thailand, and people in Africa. The joy of seeing God. You might not even understand their language, but you're such a brother and sister to them when you arrive. If they're a Christian or not, you're a brother and a sister to them, and you can love on them, and they often just pour back love to you. It's just an amazing thing to go into the nations. All right, well, this morning we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 10, so if you would turn there in your Bibles, we'll be looking at a rather remarkable chapter. Especially, it's remarkable if you look at it from the viewpoint and the aspect of the disciples, and we'll talk about that in a minute. I want to ask God this morning that some of you here just need to be renewed. You need to be revitalized and refreshed this morning. I said in the first service, I have this deck in front of my house, and I have hanging plants and colorful flowers and vines and a few succulents, and I love tending to these plants and keeping them healthy. But every once in a while, I'll get distracted and I'll forget to water, and then I'll walk out my front door and here's the flowers are all bent over and everything's droopy, you know, and the foliage is falling off. And I run in the house as fast as I can, and then I water everything, and most of the time, if I haven't waited too long, it all revives. It all revives. And that's what I'm asking God for some of you. Some of you are feeling a little droopy this morning. You're feeling a little droopy. And I'll tell you why you're feeling a little droopy, because you've just been burning the candle at both ends. And you've been busy, and you've been distracted, and you've been feeling a little away from God. And so, God, I'm asking this morning for the droopy ones. I'm asking for the droopy ones, God, for a shower. Lord, would you rain down upon us, God, a shower, Lord, of your encouragement, God, of your spirit. Would you touch us, Lord, deeply? God, we call upon you this morning because you are so gracious and so merciful, so compassionate, unending in kindness. Lord, would you renew and refresh all of us? Even those, Lord, who feel like they're really feeling vibrant, even increase their vibrantness, Lord. We bless you this morning. God, we send you here in this at this little church by the sea, God. We send you a fragrant offering of praise and worship and honor to your name, God. Receive our hearts today, Lord. And as we look into your word, God, may your word be alive, God. May it do what you've called it to do. May it renew our heart, our soul, our mind, and our spirit. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open my eyes, God, that I may behold wondrous things out of your word." You want to know what the most wondrous thing in God's word is? It's just God himself. May God reach down and grip your hearts today. Grab your very soul and being. And may you be filled with the love of God today. May you be filled with a sense of wonder and awe over who he is. All right. Matthew chapter 10. I'm actually going to teach this a little different than I did in the first service, because I wasn't real happy with exactly the message in the first service. I'm going to adjust a little bit and see what God does here. I'm going to go through the passage a little bit here and kind of teach you section by section, and we'll see what God has for us this morning. But I want to look at this from the vantage point of the disciples, because I find it fascinating. Can you imagine being called by Jesus while he was here on earth to follow him? Can you imagine that? Think about that. But you wouldn't really know exactly who this is you're following. There's a sense of wonder as you watch him do these amazing things. And suddenly, these disciples who've been watching, suddenly everything's going to change. Everything's going to change. So let's read in Matthew chapter 10, a really amazing first verse. "And having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them authority and power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness." And the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax gatherer, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, saying, "Do not go the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel. Now let's just stop there for a moment. I want to comment on this section here. Now the disciples, as I said a minute ago, have been astonished over what Jesus has done and what they've seen, casting out demons, the two demons and the Gadarene demoniacs, healing the paralyzed and the hemorrhaging woman, and opening the eyes of the blind. A notice at the end of chapter 9, if you look at the end of chapter 9 at verse 32, and as they were going out in chapter 9, verse 32, as they were going out, behold, a dumb man, demon-possessed, was brought to him. And after the demon was cast out, the dumb man spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. That's true. Not as much. You know, they'd known in their history that, you know, Elijah did this, and Abraham did that, and David did this, but this man shows up and things are being seen that they've never been seen before. And they are astonished at what Jesus has done. And then Jesus says, I want you to go out and do the same. Oh my gosh. What, I'm just thinking, like, if I'm a disciple, say what? I didn't hear that right, did I? Go out and do the same? I'm nervous already. But that's exactly what he said to them. But we can't do this. We can't do this. And that's exactly true. They can't do it. But they will do it because of one thing. They will do it because Jesus will impart to them absolutely the same authority that resides in him. How'd you like that? Huh? I'd just like Jesus to say to you, here, take my authority and go out and do what I did. Guess what? It's exactly what he's done. God's given us authority here in the, what century are we in? This is the 21st century. He's given us that same authority. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But they will, because of this authority that's given to them, because it makes all the difference. When God gives us his authority, anything is possible. When God gives us authority, everything is possible. Do you believe it? Yes. Do you really? Yes. Do you really believe it? Yes. Everything is possible with God. Yes. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. No limits. None. No limits. We can do anything in God that he gives us the authority to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to challenge us to take his authority here in our lives far more than we have, and I'm speaking to myself also. When we venture out on our own, we're going to fail. But when we possess God's authority, we will succeed. There comes a time for all of us, there comes a time where we need to quit watching and get out and do it. Right? There just comes a time where we say, okay, I've been hearing this. I mean, how many years have you been hearing the preaching of the Word of God? You know, it's just time to get out and do this stuff. Remember John Wimber said in the early days of the Vineyard, when are we going to do the stuff? And people said, what stuff? Well, you know what I read in the New Testament, you know? All of the power and the healing and all the stuff that happened. When are we going to do it? He said, well, I'm just going to start doing it. He prayed for 100 people who were sick and no one got healed. But he prayed for the 101st and that person got healed. And then more and more and more and more got healed. You see, you just keep going on in God. And that's what I want to challenge us this morning. That come up short in our lives. We don't want to give God less than he's due. God's given every single one of you immeasurable gifts and talents, far more than you might even imagine. But they just need to be stirred up. So Spirit of Living God this morning, I pray you'd stir us up this morning for you. I pray you'd stir up gifts. I pray you'd stir up callings. I pray you'd stir up ministries. I pray you'd stir up passion for you in all of us here in this room. Because God, you want to do glorious things. See, God wants to be honored in your life. He wants to be honored in my life. And you'll be surprised at what God can do through you. I spoke to an old friend, doesn't come to this church. He's very, very sick and old right now, but he said he was at the hospital a few days ago, and he was walking down the corridor, and in front of him, there was a gentleman that was just limping and barely making it, and he got up next to him, and he saw it was a young man, and he just said, you know, are you back from Iraq or Afghanistan, and are you injured from the war? And he said, yes, I am. He said, yes, I am, and I'm so discouraged because I've been trying to work with the government and to get this help, and it's not working out right. I can't get the right papers, and you know how that goes. And my friend Art said, could I just pray for you right there in the corridor? He said, you know, that would be great. And my friend just laid hands on this young veteran from Iraq, just laid hands on him and prayed over him and asked God to bless him. And this guy just started weeping and just started crying. And when it was over, he held on to my friend. That's just exactly what I'm talking about, divine moments, divine appointments that God brings to us. And so we need to step out and ask God to help us. Now notice here in the listing of the disciples, notice here that God lists them in pairs. Do you see that? They're listed in pairs. And it is an important principle in this section of Scripture that it's never good to go out in ministry by yourself. It's never good to go out in ministry by yourself because we're going out into, where are we going when we go out into the streets? We're going out into the enemy's territory. Isn't that right? In fact, this whole chapter is speaking to us about a fallen world. When Jesus talks about healing disease, when he talks about casting out demons and talks about opening the eyes of the blind, this is the effects of the fall. And so we have the call from Jesus to his disciples to go out, but he says, I don't want you going out alone. I want you going out in pairs because two is better than one. Isn't that right? Two is better than one. And a threefold cord is not easily broken, so even three is better, but at least go out in two. So Paul needed a Barnabas, and Paul needed a Silas, and Paul needed a Timothy. Even Paul wouldn't go out by himself. So if you're thinking of going down the main beach today and sharing Christ, some of you laugh like, well, I'd never do that. Hey, why not? If you're thinking of going down to main beach today and sharing Christ, don't go by yourself. Not a good idea. Take someone with you. Don't call me, but I'm busy today. So, no, I that's serious. But give me a couple days notice, I might go with you. Anyway, it's exciting. It's always nerve-wracking, and it's exciting to take a 50 tracks and stand in a corner and hand them out to people and tell them Jesus loves them. It's exciting, and you get tracks thrown at you, and people tell you to buzz off, but you'd be surprised at the conversations I remember in the early days of the Jesus movement with Jimmy Davis, who now is running Pastoral Training of Asia in the Philippines. I remember just walking the streets of Laguna for days and just handing out tracts and praying for people, and it was just an amazing time. And I want to challenge myself and challenge you to get out there, maybe just in your normal life, at your job, wherever it might be. Have you ever read the Bible? I mean, just ask God to give you open doors of opportunity. But anyway, if you're going to go out with somebody. That's what I really want to say. Now, notice a little bit of a funny verse here. In verse 5, Jesus says to the 12, now, don't go to the Gentiles, and don't go to any city of the Samaritans. Samaria was within Israel, and the Samaritans were literally half-breeds. They were half-Jewish and half-something else. He said, don't go there, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel. Because Israel was God's covenant people, and God, when Jesus came, and he commissioned his disciples, he says, go to my people first. And even Paul would say in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, when I go, I preach the Jew first, and then the Gentile. And so the disciples are instructed to go to the Jews in Israel, to the lost sheep of Israel. And that's exactly what they'll do. And as we read the book of Acts, we'll see kind of the progression that actually the Samaritans and the Gentiles will have the gospel given to them. So in Acts 1 to 7, you'll see the church in Jerusalem grows to what many people think could be as many as 10,000 believers, and 99% of them are Jewish believers that are in the church in Jerusalem, early New Testament church, and they're all Jewish believers, as many as 10,000 or perhaps even more. And then in Acts 8, Philip goes to Samaria. And then in Acts 13, Paul begins the first of three church planting journeys. And so those all get covered. But at first here, Jesus is not saying there's something wrong with the Samaritans or the Gentiles. He's just simply saying, I want this word first spoken to my covenant people. And that's what they did. Now Jesus gives them the commission here. Preach, verse 7, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received and freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts or a bag for your journey or even two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. And in whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and abide there until you go away. And as you enter that house, give it your greeting. And if the house is worthy, let your greeting of peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your greeting of peace return to you. And whoever does not receive you, nor heed your words, as you go out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So Jesus gives them this commission. He imparts to them his authority. And he says, go completely trusting me that I am going to provide everything that you need. Don't take any money. Don't take any extra clothing. Just go and I will provide. And the importance of his commission is seen when he talks about houses that receive him and houses that don't. This is an important message. The gospel is an important message. And if they receive you, give them a blessing. And if they don't, then just shake the dust off the soles of your feet. Jesus is saying to the apostles, and he's saying to us, the importance of the gospel being given. I think it's interesting in verse 15 that he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and the day of judgment. Then it will be more tolerable for those places, those two cities, than it will be for the city that rejects them. And that what that says to me, and I've had a heart for this for a long time, is that God is concerned about cities. God's concerned about cities. And I'm looking at a couple of people, one in particular here, who's been praying for Laguna Beach for almost 40 years. Because we know that God loves cities. Paul writes to the church that's in Ephesus, the city of Ephesus. He writes to the church that's in the city of Philippi. He writes to the church that's in the city of Colossae. And Paul knows the importance of cities. And so we here at the Little Church by the Sea, we have a great heart for Laguna Beach. And we want Laguna Beach to be impacted by God. We want the city to be known for other things besides art and a great tourist attraction. We want this city to be changed for the glory of God. Amen? Yes, amen. And I believe that can happen. In fact, guess what? It's happening now. It's been happening for several years, we're seeing the city change. Sam's ministry is golden. It's huge for the high school here and the junior high school. It's a heaven-sent blessing to have Sam with his heart just beating for the city and sending those kids up into the high school and blessing those kids in the high school that they would be lights shining for God in that school. And so we pray for Laguna Beach. We pray for the surrounding area, the cities and the surrounding area. I think I've said this to you before. Somebody one time said, well, what do you do? And I said, I'm a pastor. And he said, well, where do you pastor at? And I said, I pastor in Laguna Beach. And he looks at me and cocks his head and he said, I didn't know there were any Christians in Laguna Beach. So we're going to see that changes. Can you imagine the glory of God getting, if suddenly revival broke out in Laguna and it's like in the newspapers, God is alive in Laguna Beach. You know, when Lou Engel spoke here in our church, he said, we need one drop from heaven, one drop from heaven to drop down here and just break us loose for the glory of God that this city can change. So I'm never going to give up in this city. When my house burned in 1993, Dickie said, oh, maybe we're supposed to move somewhere else. I said, oh, I don't think so. I don't think we're moving anywhere else because I am committed to this city. Up to this moment, I'm committed to this city. And so who knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm feeling I'm probably going to live my days out here, which aren't too many more. There aren't that many days left at my age. But whatever that means, whatever, I'm going to pray for our city here. For some reason, I love Laguna, and I can't get it out of my DNA. It's just there. And I know I'm called. It's a joy to be called to the city, and it's a joy to be called to this church, and to pray. And I want to watch God before I, you know, make that journey to the other side. I want to ask God. I want to see you move in glorious ways. Amen. I believe you can do that. I believe you can do that. And so cities are important to God. And then let's read verses 16 to 23. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, he's going to warn them. This is a warning now. And just know, this isn't going to be easy. And you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer, and there's going to be challenges. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men. Beware of men. As Jesus said in John chapter 2, He wouldn't entrust himself to any man because he knew what was in the heart of all men. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to courts and scourge you in synagogues, and you shall even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, when they deliver you up, not maybe, not if, but when they deliver you up, when they deliver you up, do not be anxious about what or how you will speak, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to speak. Isn't that a glorious verse? Wow, just think of it. Just think of it. You know, don't worry. You know, if you get arrested and you go to trial, don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit's going to come and fall on you and speak through you. Man, whoo, what a verse. It's the life of God. It's the kingdom being expressed when that happens. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. That even deserves another woo! Look at that, the Father is going to speak through you. And brother will deliver up brother to death, a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. Why? Because all on account of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Whenever they persecute you in this city, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you shall not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. And that last verse kind of covers all of history. All of history. You might not know that there is more persecution in the church today than there ever has been in all of history, including the first century. There are 52 countries in among the nations in which it is against the law to be a Christian, or any expression of worship is highly restricted. Over the last 10 years, there have been 1,100 churches burned in Indonesia. In North Korea, a communist country, there are at least 100,000 Christians in prison, and many are being killed week after week. The persecution is intense. There are 80 to 100 million Christians in the underground church in China. The government tries as hard as they can to snuff out the church in China, and the harder they persecute, the more they persecute, the faster the church grows. How do you like that? That's the way God works. The more the persecution, the faster the church grows. I say that's excellent, don't you? Those little underground churches in China struggling just to worship, being persecuted all the time, and they're growing by it's a flat-out revival in China, and there has been for the last 15 years. And it's a glorious thing. So I want to say this kind of as I close now. This section is a call to you and to me to take the Word of God seriously, because this chapter is a chapter of overcoming and defeating the enemy. And how many here would like to see the enemy overcome and defeated in your life and in the lives of your family and friends? I do. We want to see that happen. Matthew chapter 10 is the kingdom of heaven invading the kingdom of this world. Matthew chapter 10 is the glory of God dwarfing the glory of this world that Satan said to Jesus, "I'll give you the glory of this world if you but bow down and worship me." Matthew chapter 10 is the power of God overwhelming the power of the enemy. It's the lost and the destitute and the bound and the chained and the beleaguered, those in the grip of the enemy, being set free and given new life. So what God has done, it's what God is doing today, it's what God will do in the future, rescuing, freeing those who are bound by the enemy of our souls. Jesus is in the business of ripping those people out of the hand of the enemy. Now, how many know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? How many know that? How many know that God never changes? God never changes. God is ultimately God in every aspect. And that's a verse in the Bible. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The seminary word is God is immutable. He's immutable. He is always the same. And so what Jesus did on this earth while he was here, and what he commissioned his disciples to do through him, God is still doing through his people today. God is still saving the lost. God is still breaking chains. He is still setting people free from bondage. God is still healing the sick and casting out demons, delivering people from every kind of disease, mending broken hearts, and giving hope to the hopeless. Are you feeling a little hopeless this morning? God wants to give you hope this morning, today and tomorrow, and give you a fresh vision of what he wants to do. God is still giving beauty for ashes. God is still releasing the oil of gladness for the spirit of heaviness. Yes, weeping may last for the night, but God is still giving shouts of joy in the morning. Do you believe it? God is still giving shouts of joy in the morning to those who may be weeping through the night. I've shouted a few times in my life. How many of you have shouted? I feel like shouting now. I'm going to shout now. Yay, God. I'm just going to shout. Yay, God. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like church being quiet too often. I think there's a time for quiet, but I like being a little loud. Yeah, a little loud. Where there's darkness, God's going to bring some light into your life. What do you think of that? Huh? Where there's brokenness, God's going to bring some mending. Where there's discouragement and there is upheaval and there's a mess everywhere, God's going to clean it up. Do you believe it? That's God. God's to be honored. God's to be glorified. God is great in your life. Do you believe it? Yes, you do. You're going to believe it because it's true. God, cast out all doubts. Cast out all doubts this morning. Cast out all doubts, God. All doubts. You can do anything and everything through us. God, I know in my excitement, God, I sometimes get a little bit out there, but I don't think I've said anything too far out there. Lord, we as a church give ourselves to you. And God, I know, Lord, we want to humble ourselves before you and say we know we can't do anything apart from you. But God, we're available. We want to see the sick healed. Amen? We want to see the sick healed. We want to see those who are demonized and oppressed by the enemy. We want to see that bondage broken. God, we want to see you mend broken hearts and give hope to the hopeless, God. We want to see you glorified and beautified in our lives. Blessed be your name this morning. As that Psalm 96 says, God, may we sing a new song to you all week long. I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.